Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. Welcome back to the Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night at 7 o'clock on Devil's Radio, The Shaw, folks. WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha, 101 or 92.7 FM. We are here on Halloween night. It is a spooky time, and we've got some crazy election stuff coming up. And folks, I'm delighted to say I have a very special guest this evening, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. When he got elected, he was the youngest Milwaukee County executive ever, right?
Yeah, that is true.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Paul Revere Show.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. It is definitely a pleasure to finally be on the Paul Revere Show. Long time coming, but looking forward to coming back already.
Well, you can be on virtually anytime you want. You know, I have the gift of living in Milwaukee County in the city of Milwaukee. I've been a resident since 84. I know you've been a lifelong resident. But we're at, what, about 939,500 folks, right? Milwaukee County is the engine of the state. You are its leader. And just before we get into some of your thoughts on this, you know, we got 8 days before the election and how those elections impact. How do you see the county and how do you see the future of Wisconsin from your vantage point?
Absolutely. Great question. But first and foremost, let me just say again, thank you for having me. And just want to say thank you to everyone who's also listening as well. But when you look at the future of Milwaukee County, I absolutely believe that it is a bright future. You know, when I came into Milwaukee County there, I think many people knew of the many challenges that faced the county, particularly the fiscal challenges, but also just understanding what exactly we do for the people. And so, you know, coming in, being sworn in May of 2020, height of the pandemic, clearly there were a lot of different challenges out there. But we've been able to look through these challenges and actually navigate and really find many opportunities that we've been able to take advantage of. And so one of the first things that we did within my administration since being sworn in is we created the first strategic plan for Milwaukee County in more than two decades. And our vision now is that by achieving racial equity, we will become the healthiest county in the state of Wisconsin. And so we looked and we created three strategic focus areas as our pillars to really help drive us towards our vision. The first is intentional inclusion, making sure that we're intentional in making sure that we represent the community that we serve through all levels of government, whether that's through elected officials, appointed positions, civil service positions, but also when you think about our boards, our commissions, and different councils that people sit on to help push policy at the county level. The next was bridging the gap. Like, how do we make sure that people are at the table, particularly those who live in neighborhoods of color and neighborhoods that have been disenfranchised, that have been forgotten? And then last but certainly not least is really putting our money where our mouth is, really investing in equity. We know that so many communities across Milwaukee County have seen decades of disinvestment. And so we want to really reverse that trend that we have been seeing. And so when I think about Milwaukee County, I think that this is going to be a destination for people to come to the Midwest. You know, we are the most populated community in the state. We are the most diverse community in the state. And as you alluded to earlier, we are the economic engine of this state. And we do it in partnership with all of our surrounding communities and, you know, communities across the state. But it's we have to always talk about the fact that, you know, Milwaukee means a lot to this state, and we want to contribute to the economy. But more importantly, we want to be able to invest right here back home. And so it is the goal that we continue to take care of the people on the ground who live here, who work here, while also contributing to the bottom line so other communities across the state are able to do the things that they need to do. But I always have to say that when we want to contribute to the state, that's great. But we also know that we need our fair share of the dollars that we also contribute. So we're bridging that gap. We work in different relationships at the state level to really repair those relationships.
You know, I think a lot of times people forget that there are 19 municipalities that make up the county. So, I mean, it's a very, very complicated network of leaders, communities, you know, police departments, fire departments. And I think, you know, people also forget that we are sitting on, I mean, we take it for granted, But we're sitting on Lake Michigan, and you know, the whole world, you know, my brother lives in Arizona. I mean, they're talking about water. And what, you know, National Geographic, what's it, in 2023 is a place to visit, right? Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Now, but we're talking about how do we get folks come here and not just visit, but live, right?
So absolutely.
How do we go about addressing, you know, this issue you said with the state and shared revenue? I know that you recently had some meetings with folks in Madison on that issue.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you bringing this up. So, you know, we know that, and it's not just a city of Milwaukee problem. That's not a Milwaukee County problem. But all municipalities across the state are struggling when it comes down to being able to bring in enough revenue to actually pay for the current services that so many people rely on.
Right.
And so, you know, when we have to just rely on property taxes solely in order to get things done, invest in our parks, invest in our transportation system, invest in a quality of living, you know, so people can not only, you know, want to live here, but stay here, and we can recruit people to come here. We need to have that relationship. And so we've been working with the state of Wisconsin in both parties, Republican Party as well as a Democratic Party. And we brought them to Milwaukee. One, let me show you what all the things that we have been able to do in the past few years since the onset of the pandemic, but also since the onset of the new leadership, myself and with, you know, Mayor Cavalier Johnson within the city of Milwaukee. And talking about the struggles that we have just funding those quality of life services. And so the issue at the end of the day is that property taxes are capped. So we can't necessarily raise property taxes over a certain point. I believe for us, it was about 1.2% this year. But yet all of our costs, and then we're not even talking inflation, right? All of the costs are increasing by 2%, which creates a structural deficit. And so when you hear stuff like, oh, well, we want you to invest in public safety. We want you to invest in schools. We want you to invest in transportation, in our parks. It becomes extremely difficult for us to be leaders and make those investments, those quality of life investments, when we're not getting the necessary dollars, the revenue that we need because of our antiquated funding structure, particularly around shared revenue. And so we've been having many of these conversations, and I will tell you, they've been very fruitful. You know, I remember, you know, 2-3 years ago, if you talk about a local option sales tax, you know, we were getting shot down. But now that we've been able to show people what we've been able to do, and not just with our current tax dollars, right? Because we've also received ARPA dollars thanks to President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. We've been able to make investments. And I think now we've been able to show people what we can do. If we have the funds, we can do a lot more. So we have to continue to have this conversation, because at the end of the day, when you're in local government, this isn't about partisanship. Because if your house is on fire, Republican or Democrat, you want to be able to call the fire department. If you're having a mental health crisis, you want to be able to call, you know, a behavioral health assistance. You want to be able to call those individuals, those agencies that come out to support you in your worst time. And unfortunately, we're getting to a point where we can't fund those agencies. We can't fund those programs and services that so many of our vulnerable communities rely on due to the fact we're not getting our fair share. And so we're having these conversations, and I can honestly say that the more and more we have them, the more and more we're bringing people to the table to really work with us, and not just us as a city and county, but with all municipalities across the state.
I'm glad you had mentioned that there was some federal money that came in under the American Rescue Plan Act, the ARPA, with President Biden and Vice President Harris. There was $12 million I saw recently on a housing. How did that come about? And, you know, how's that work in the county?
Absolutely. So we've been able to do a lot with our house, with our ARPA dollars, right? So one, you know, we was able to, in the first tranche of dollars that we received, we were able to put about $47 million into eviction prevention. And we've helped, you know, keep at least 13,000 individuals within their homes and not face eviction. We've been able to partner with Legal Aid Society and create a right to counsel program to give people the opportunity to have a lawyer when they are facing evictions. But I can also say that because of our strong partnership with Governor Evers, we were able to actually lobby the state, and they gave us even more dollars. They gave us about $19 million to put into affordable housing in Milwaukee County in our own backyard. And with that, what those dollars are going to give us the opportunity to do is, one, you know, when we think about the current affordable housing projects that are going on all across Milwaukee County, we know that they've been hit by inflation or hit by the supply chain and don't have enough capital to actually finish these projects. But we now have a pool of dollars available for those particular projects to make sure that these affordable housing projects can actually go on. But even if you think about, you know, market rate construction projects that are going on currently, we now have the opportunity to actually buy down the rents, the future rents of individuals, so we can have affordable places for individuals to go and stay in. And so when we think about the ARPA dollars, I can definitely tell you that the Biden-Harris administration has been absolutely wonderful in making sure that local municipalities are getting infused with the type of revenue that they need to stay afloat, because our losses will never be able to amount to the amount of dollars that we've seen. Actually, our losses are much greater. But because of Governor Evers, we've been able to bring in more dollars and make sure that we can funnel these dollars into housing programs, into transportation programs, but also into community support programs of, you know, organizations and agencies that are on the ground every day on the front lines, doing the work, working with some of our most vulnerable people. And so, you know, it's been phenomenal to have these dollars, but we have to continue to let people know that the money that we receive has a shelf life. And so after next year, the budgets that we are producing are going to be worse, and it's going to have to put us in a position to really make some tough decisions, you know, at every level of government, no matter where you are across the state.
So, folks, I am here with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. We're talking about the county and its future as the essential, the engine of the state of Wisconsin. We're coming up on break. And on the other side of the break, David, if I may, I'd really want to talk about what is November 8th in the elections and what's at stake for the county, the future of Wisconsin, and particularly young folks, right? And I've been here since 84. Had a great, great time in this city. Now it's your generation and my grandkids. So, folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. We'll be right back. Cousin up in the Green Bay area. Okay. And deer hunting up in Washburn County. Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. I am here with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and we've talked about where Milwaukee County is at. And now we're, David, here we are, major election on November 8th. What's at stake for the county, and what's at stake for the state? What's at stake for democracy? The floor is all yours.
Oh, man. Well, there's a lot at stake this election. And so if you have not voted, I want everyone to know that you can vote early right now. You know, and early voting is open until, you know, depending on which community it is, you can contact your city hall. But Friday will be the last day. In some communities, it may be Saturday. So please make sure that you early vote or go out on November 8th, because a lot is riding on this, particularly for Milwaukee County. So when you think about what Governor Evers has been able to do for the entire state, first of all, he has been the most successful goalie. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody from the NHL or some soccer league tries to recruit him because of all the things that he has been able to stop. And when you think about the number of vetoes that he has put through, it's been extremely powerful for us as a community. I mean, we're talking about individuals who want to make it harder for people to vote. Governor Evers is the one that stopped that. And when you think about what we're going through, even at the federal level right now, and literally the rolling back of rights and freedoms, that when you think about it, that were fought long ago that my mother, that my grandmother fought for, we're still having this conversation right now. This is not about how we go back. We don't want to go back in time. We need to be figuring out how we're actually moving forward and doing things for this community. And so when you think about Governor Evers, he has been the one who has been able to send about $25 million to Milwaukee County for our public transportation service. And that's because when we receive our ARPA dollars, the first thing that the finance committee did in Madison was cut our transportation aid, which is mind blowing, because when you think about getting people to and from work, to and from the doctor's office, to school, when we're talking about growing our economy, the last thing that you want to put on a chopping block is how people are utilizing transportation to get to those places. But it's because of Governor Evers where we were able to replenish that pot of money. And even when we talk about housing right now, affordable housing for individuals to be able to work. I mean, right now in Milwaukee County, we have firefighters, we have police officers, we have teachers that work in certain communities, but yet can't afford to actually live in those communities. And so if we're going to find ways to really progress, make sure that we have affordable housing, make sure we have, you know, revenue and dollars to invest in disability programs, invest in our young people, right? Because what we're talking about are quality of life services. You know, whether we're talking police, whether we're talking fire, whether we're talking public health, transportation, or, you know, some people will say more important than that is just our physical and mental well-being. And we have that crown jewel in our own backyard when you think about our Milwaukee County Parks system. And you know, even though today is Halloween, it is also the birthday of Frederick Law Olmsted, who created, you know, Riverside Park, that created Washington Park and Lake Park right in our own backyard. These are things that are extremely important to us in making sure that we can invest in the quality of living. And so when you think about, you know, our region, not just the city of Milwaukee County, but the 7-county region, we need to be able to invest in the quality of life issues. And this is how we're going to be able to continue to compete in a global metro market. If we want to retain our employees, if we want to recruit new employees, but also figure out how to bring more capital investment to our region, you have to invest in the quality of life. And so I always talk about the social determinants of health, because our environment, access to healthcare, access to good paying jobs, access to housing, all those different things, transportation, can improve the health outcomes for everyone. And when you think about the fact that Wisconsin, we lead at the top of many of the most negative lists across the country. You know, we have the greatest disparity in learning between white and black kids in this state. And so if we no longer want to be the worst state to raise a black child, we have to make sure that Governor Evers is there. And when you think about the laws that are on the books, or laws that shouldn't be enforced, like the fact that we have a ban on abortion, a law that was passed before women even had the right to vote, that is in our country.
Way.
70 years before they had the right to vote, right? Like, that's why we need Attorney General Josh Call there, right? And he's going to be a fighter for us. But even when you think about, again, the federal level, you know, Mandela Barnes has been working in this community for so many years. And I remember me and him working on the ground as community organizers before either one of us decided to run for elected office. So he has a reputation of doing what's right in this community. But when you think about the guy that's in that seat right now, Rojo, somebody who is, you know, who has been there for 12 years, yet can't tell you not one single thing that he has done other than offer a tax break. He would say for everybody, but we know where the majority of those dollars has went. You don't need a person like that in office. When all they can do is tell you why not to vote for that person, he can't tell you why he deserves to even have your vote. And that's not anyone who should be representing Wisconsin. He doesn't even represent Wisconsin values. So a lot is riding on this election. A lot, so much is riding on this election, particularly because this is how we're going to make sure that we're getting great policies at the federal level. And until we can change the gerrymandered districts within the state of Wisconsin, it is extremely important that we have a Democratic governor like Tony Evers in that seat to make sure that he's not only pushing policies that benefit everybody, but he's stopping bad policies that'll be a detriment to us all. So this election is extremely important. And even though I am talking about Governor Evers, Josh Call, and Mandela Barnes, it's important for folks to understand that we need to elect Democrats up and down the ticket for state assembly as well as for state senate. We are one seat away in the Senate. Republicans are one seat away in the Senate from having a supermajority and 5 seats away from having a supermajority in the Assembly. So we got to elect folks.
And folks, thank you so much, County Exec David Crowley. Thank you for being here. We got coming up to the break. You hear that, folks? Get out and vote. It is time to make a change. I'll be right back on the other side, Attorney Mark Thompson. Well, good evening, folks. Welcome back. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is Devil's Radio, the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM. 101 or 92.7 FM every Monday night at 7. I'm honored to have Greta Neubauer with us here for the second half. Greta Neubauer is the minority leader of the Assembly Democrats in Madison. And we were here in this first half of the hour with County Executive David Crowley, who was sort of talking about the view from Milwaukee and Milwaukee County in the elections. And I thought it would be great tonight. Here we are, what, 8 days away from November 8th. We've been talking about it for 2 years and we're almost here. So welcome, Greta. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a true pleasure.
So what's it look like across the state? Tell us what you're seeing, what you're hearing, you know, what's it feel like? This is a Halloween. I got to tell them for the listeners, I'm looking at Greta. She's wearing purple. So it's nice to know the leader of the blue is like recognizing it's purple. And we're hoping that November 8th, it's a bluer purple than red purple. That's
there we go. Oh yeah, there we go. I feel an optimistic. So how are things going in the state? You know, it is always difficult for us to tell exactly what's going on with the state assembly because you can't really poll in races of this size. You know, every day folks are hearing about a new poll for Senate or a new poll for governor. Really what we have in the assembly is looking at how these districts were in the past and what we're seeing on the ground. And so we are just trying to stay very focused on knocking on every door. A thing that we can do that many people can't do at other levels of government is really try to get out and knock our win number. So the number of voters we need to win the district, we try to knock that many doors in our assembly races, sometimes more. So we are feeling good going into the last 8 days in that we're working really hard. Our candidates are doing great work on the ground, but with an assembly this gerrymandered, we know that it is going to be very close and really come down to the wire here as to whether we can prevent a Republican supermajority.
So, you know, I think a lot of people forget, you know, this gerrymander, right? We got 99 seats, right, in the assembly. And from the blue side, they've got it rigged that on their worst day, they still get 60 seats.
Right, exactly.
And you know, there was a time there were federal judges that believed that was unconstitutional, and we had a U.S. Supreme Court that said, oh, okay, we're not going to decide that. It's all up to politics and let the people decide. So here we are, the people. So how many currently, tell the public generally, how many seats do the Dems hold?
Yeah, so right now we have 38 seats. We won those seats under different maps. And the sort of easiest way, I think, to describe the degree to which Wisconsin is gerrymandered is that, of course, in 2020, Joe Biden won Wisconsin with about 50% of the vote. With these new maps, and those vote totals from 2020, we would only win 35 of 99 seats. You would think with about 50% of the vote, we'd maybe win 49 or 50 seats. But no, with those vote totals, it's only 35. And we need 34 seats to prevent a Republican supermajority in the state assembly. With the number of incumbents retiring and again, the map shifting, I think it is going to be really, really close, because you can have someone win at the statewide level for governor or U.S. Senate. And with those, again, 50% plus of the votes, you will likely only get about a third of the seats. And so we're just going to be right there on the margins. High turnout in Madison or Milwaukee doesn't really help our folks in these vulnerable seats, right? They're spread across the state. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about those seats, but it's often smaller cities, central, northern Wisconsin, you know, some suburban areas. And so for us, it's just making sure that we are doing absolutely everything we can to protect our incumbents, hold on to our open Democratic seats, and then try to flip a few where we are seeing the districts move in our direction.
So let's generally, how do you see it for Governor Evers overall? And then what are the issues that you think, now that you've been out there, I think since we talked, what, several months, what are people saying about those issues, and how do those issues then impact these assembly districts? And we'll come back to that. But how do you see that right now?
I of course am feeling optimistic about Governor Evers. I think that is because of what I hear on the doors from people, which is that they know that he tries to do the right thing for Wisconsin and that Tim Michaels is just too far right. His policies on abortion, on gay marriage and social issues, his economic policies, where it's very clear that he is going to be advocating for those at the top and really leave the rest of Wisconsin to fend for themselves. You know, I just think he's not right for the state of Wisconsin. And people know that Governor Evers has done everything in his power to make life better for them and their kids and to improve all of our opportunities long term in Wisconsin. So I'm hearing that from people at the doors. What issues do I hear about? You know, I've been knocking all over the state in our competitive districts, in my own district in Racine. I hear quite a bit about abortion and how motivating that is for particularly women voters to show up in November, having lost a concrete right, which I know he talked about the last time I was on the show.
Who would have thought in 2022 we're talking about rights disappearing, you know, at a time where you would think that rights would be expanding and democracy would be expanding. How is that going to play out in some of these tighter districts that are really at play? How do you see it from, you know, from the street level? What is it going to matter?
Yeah, you know, I would say a few things. So I was knocking on doors in my district last weekend, and sometimes you're out and you've got a list, right, of the voters that you're supposed to talk to. But when there are people outside their house, you know, unloading the groceries or sitting on the front porch, I go up, even if they're not on my list, right? And so there was a woman, you know, she's unloading her car. I go up, I say, you know, I'm your state representative, and here to talk to you about the election. Are you planning on voting? And she says, you know, I have two young daughters, and I just think that the fact that there are no exceptions for rape or incest in Wisconsin is not okay. And that is very motivating to me as a mom who thinks that my daughter should have an option if something terrible was to happen to them. So that's the kind of thing that makes me believe that we are really going to see strong Democratic turnout, even from some people who maybe traditionally don't vote in a midterm election, because people are very aware of that policy and they do not feel that it lines up with what they think Wisconsin should do. And I hear about it in other places. You know, I hear about it from my colleagues. Let's talk about Lillian Bird a little bit, right? She's in the suburbs of Milwaukee. That's where we have flipped 3 seats in the last 2 cycles because those districts are moving in the right direction. She's in Greenfield, Greendale Hills, Corners, and she hears about that a lot on the doors, that people just do not feel that the policy currently in place, as you talked about earlier, the 1849 abortion law is in line with what they believe should be the policy in 2022 in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and just a shout out to Luann Bird, that, you know, she's running against a candidate that got run out of Milwaukee, you know, couldn't get elected here. And so he's trying to resurrect himself, unfortunately backing, really, you know, looking far, far into the past. So we know that Governor Evers has been completely stood with women through the past 4 years, and that Michaels is, you know, virtually opposite him on this, on the abortion issue, or women's right to choose, you know, women's control over their bodies. I think that's a better way to put it. And from my vantage point, what are the other hot issues that you think are going to be moving people on this race?
Yeah, you know, we definitely hear about rising costs and families just a little worried about making ends meet. Try to talk to them about the things that we've proposed, that Governor Evers has proposed, and that have been done at the federal level. You know, I think we can all acknowledge inflation is a real challenge, especially for people who are on a fixed income or limited income. And what I talk about with folks at the doors that President Obama really hit on this weekend when he was in Milwaukee is that Republicans like to say that they are unhappy about inflation, but they have no solutions. They have no solutions. And so we try and talk about the really concrete things that we want to do to help people who are seeing those rising costs that have been proposed and blocked by Republicans gaffling in and out of special session after special session. We do hear about violent crime. And I try to talk to folks there about the bills that we've proposed to try to have common sense gun laws in Wisconsin. You should have to pass a background check before you have access to a gun in the state of Wisconsin. And that is not currently the law of the land because Republicans are unwilling to take that up. Democrats have proposed again and again additional investments in local government, so that local governments can have the ability to fund local services. Republicans have starved cities and local communities of those resources that would make our communities safer in the long term. So we really try to point to the ways that Republicans in the legislature have just been acting out of step with the people of Wisconsin. And while they might like to try to point the finger, they have no real solutions for the challenges Wisconsinites are facing.
No, and I think it's a very important point to make in terms of even on the federal level. We know that Senator Johnson is out there saying he wants to put Social Security on the block every year. And if you're talking about inflation and fixed income, right, we all know Social Security only comes if you work, right? You spend your whole life, you earn it. This is not an entitlement. This is not Senator Ron Johnson's and his rich friends, you know, little lottery to play. That's very, very crucial. So, you know, this Mandela Barnes has been, adamant about being with working people, with the middle class on this issue, as well as on the right to choose issue. And I think that gets lost in a lot of the discussion. What is like moving people? I mean, do you see like an increase? I know, I think last time we talked, you said there were more women that had registered to vote. I mean, is that sort of what you're hearing out there, that there is going to be a bigger turnout than we would expect amongst women?
I think so. I think we are seeing signs that point in that direction. And it's how I feel having gotten off the doors a couple of hours ago. And we're also seeing really significant enthusiasm among young people in Wisconsin, which is very exciting to see because you never know in a midterm, right, if young people are going to feel that they should show up. But I do think the policies put forward, passed at the federal level, including student debt relief, significant action on climate change, it's motivating young people to get involved.
And folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with Greta Neubauer, the leader of the Dems in the Assembly. We'll be right back after a break to talk more about the elections. Thank you so much, Greta. We'll be right back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. I am delighted to have with us this evening Greta Neubauer, the leader of the minority leader of the Democrats in the State Assembly. She's got her pulse on the folks of the people, right? So before we get into some of the specific races that are really sort of that go to this holding a block, right? The assembly to protect the governor's veto. You had mentioned just before the break, young people, and that you're excited about young folks in the midterm. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we have seen that young people are particularly enthusiastic and on track to outperform their engagement in past midterm elections in Wisconsin, which is, as I said, just really exciting to see. For one, I'm 31 years old. I love it to see when I see my peers turn out. I think it's really important that we use our political power because we have it, right? If young people turn out, the issues that young people care about, like Wisconsin, investing in public transit and long-term resilience, addressing our racial disparities, making our justice system more equitable, all of those things become a higher priority when young people use their political power and turn out. Right. So I'm just thrilled to see that.
How about good energy policy? And so we have a planet.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I really do think the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the largest climate bill to ever come out of the federal government, and President Biden's student debt relief are critical because young people are really seeing the federal government take action on issues that they care about and that directly impact them.
Right. And it is your world, right?
It is. Yes. Yes. I came out of climate organizing. So very excited to see that movement and how much the voices of young people mattered in getting that done.
So those are sort of the issues. Let's talk about the key races where this whole issue is going to hinge on. What can you tell us about that? What should the listeners be watching for on November 8th, when the numbers come in? Where should they be looking, and what's going to be really tell the whole story?
Yeah, that is a great question. So we, of course, are competing in a number of seats around the state, and we don't exactly know what the climate is going to be like on November 8th. But what we do know, as I said, is that the maps are rigged against us, and our number one priority is holding on to those 34 seats. We, of course, are competing in a number of additional seats. I would really encourage folks, particularly in the Milwaukee area, to keep a close eye on Luann Byrd's race. I think that will be very indicative of the climate that we are seeing broadly in Wisconsin. It's a seat that, under the new maps, Biden would get 51% of the votes there in 20. So that means that it is absolutely winnable for us as Democrats, but it's also going to be really close. So that's a place that I would encourage folks to look. Luann's been a fantastic candidate, running a really great grassroots campaign and just having incredible support come to her from the area. You know, folks love going out and knocking on doors with Luann because it's just such a positive campaign and positive experience. I would point to Steve Doyle, who is running out in the La Crosse area on Alaska, is his hometown. This is a seat that Republicans certainly are coming for, they're spending on. This is a seat that does trend a bit Republican at the top of the ticket. But Steve Doyle always outperforms the top of the ticket. And so we still think that he will win in this seat, despite the fact that it's a district that, again, is a slightly Republican-leaning seat. So those are two, right, that are sort of right on that line that will give folks a good sense of what's going on in the suburbs of Milwaukee and then in Western Wisconsin. And they're two incredibly strong candidates, again, who have just been putting in the work and outworking their opponents by a long shot. And so we're feeling optimistic about their ability to hold on to those seats.
I know in your capacity as a leader, minority leader for the assembly, you also work closely with your colleagues in the Senate. How do you see the Senate playing out?
Yeah, you know, I wish I had some more detail to share. I think in this last week here, we're all a bit laser focused. But I know that they are working really hard in a number of districts in northern Wisconsin, in the Fox Valley, in suburban Milwaukee, and making sure that they hold on to their incumbents as well. So they're doing really good work. They too have strong candidates. And again, it's tough because they've got a one seat margin right now between where the Democrats are and being in the super minority. But they're running a great program, and I think that they're going to pull it off.
So the, you know, we've talked about the Dobbs decision and that 2022 was a step back for humanity in the sense of in the United States, women lost a right. How do you see, you know, that the women running in the assembly, are you seeing more women? You see more women winning?
So yeah.
On that, you know, what are you predicting on November 8th in terms of, you know, women in the state?
Yeah. So we had a number of women who decided to run after the Dobbs decision was leaked. And that was really powerful to see, you know, people stepping up and saying, I can't sit on the sidelines anymore, right? I really need to take responsibility for the direction that my state goes. We've seen a lot of enthusiasm for those campaigns from grassroots supporters, from, you know, women and other folks in their communities, which has been great. What I will say is we have also seen significant threats and attacks on those female candidates. We all know that we're in a really partisan environment in which there are going to be lies spread about candidates, you know, misinformation, and often threats. And I will tell you that we have seen the vast majority of those threats directed towards our female candidates. And so it is no small thing to run for office right now. And if anybody knows one of these women or is in their community, just be sure to thank them for the work that they're doing, because it is not easy, this climate that we're running in right now.
So we have about 50 seconds left. You get, say, 30 of those seconds. What do you say to the listeners on this Halloween night before November 8th, 8 days away? What do you say?
I say just make sure to get out and vote. I know that it can feel like a bit of a burden. You've got all week to go early vote at your local municipality. You can show up on November 8th. Truly, what happens in this election could be decided by a few votes in each ward statewide. And it will absolutely determine the outcome and future of our state.
Vote blue, folks. November 8th. Help Greta turn her purple sweater bluer purple. Thank you all. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the